Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. Good morning, Trent.
Hey, Patrick.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. 9 to 10, WBT.
Yeah, we threw Lisa. Goodness gracious. We'll handle the first segment. You just warm up and sit back and chill.
See, when I went to go get water, I thought this is
bad. The first time we've ever done that, y'all were like, whoa, bam, 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 bam.
You know,
y'all ready?
Here we go. I made an assumption, and you know what my dad used to say about assuming?
What did he say, Patrick?
Well, the first three letters out of you and me. That's what he would tell me, and he still tells me that.
He doesn't tell you that. Thank goodness.
Yeah, he would.
How's your pops doing?
He's doing good, man.
Good. He's still down there on Lake Kiwi.
Turned 78 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
We need to get him back up here. I need to get some more stories.
He might have been a one-hit wonder on the At Home with Roby show.
He did a great job. Yeah.
He can talk.
He did good.
He can talk, yeah.
Maybe I just need to go visit him with you at Kiwi.
We need to do that, yeah.
Take a little road trip.
Put a little spit shine on his boat for him, and we'll roll out.
I didn't say I was washing this boat. What are you talking about?
All right, I'll do that. You just hang out.
That's good. We'll go down there on the dock. We'll go down there and drink a couple beers and wash this boat. I would love to do that.
Holler out Lewis Quinn, have him down
especially
to the dock.
Especially since it can be a business development trip.
We got
Brent Beast. We could stay a day or two.
We could.
I mean, I got a lot of good buddies down there. Go talk to Lewis.
Yeah.
Be fun.
It would
Kiwi's
be fun.
Nice.
It is a cool lake. Now, there are a bunch of people from Charlotte starting to move down there.
Wonder how many ships are in the bottom of Kiwi.
How many ships?
Yeah. You think there's some treasure down there?
Yes.
From the pirates?
I do. The pirates
of the Kiwi. They came out of Clemson.
There might be a tiger down there. You might be able to be careful. I hear you.
It'd be dead. Golly.
I hope it would be dead.
Goodness gracious. If it's in the water, it's a hybrid tiger.
Or it could be a catfish.
You know?
Da-da,
they smell
da-da.
Good.
You love catfish.
I do love catfish.
What's the biggest catfish you've ever caught?
I mean, man, like...
Like the size of your arm?
Like 8 or 10 pounds. But
God,
I think I've talked about
catfish.
This before. My neighbor, Mike Campbell, like everybody calls him the mailman. I've known him since I was three. He used to let these guys come fish for carp tournaments.
Carp. Okay, yeah.
They,
all right.
They would fish to fill the carp ponds like in Bessemer City. And people go and it's like bingo.
You go and buy in
and you who catches the biggest fish wins some money. So this guy comes and fishes for him, so he chums up the river. I mean, you didn't know they chum the river, did you? And he would catch
well, that's a different
he
story.
Would catch 50, 60, 70 pound carp. Carp. But sometimes he would catch big 60, 70-pound catfish.
Dang.
And he would put them in the cage, and I'd walk up there with Ford and the kids, and they got to see them. But that's a big fish.
You ever look at Mike and just be like, what's up, Carl Malone, and see how he reacts? Did you call him the mailman?
That was funny. I don't think he would get the joke.
He'd look at y'all crook-eyed.
He isn't much of an NBA historian.
That's a Utah Jazz, man. John Stockton back in the day.
I love that team.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, they were good.
They were good.
But anyway, I love the smell of dead catfish on the river. it makes me fond of the west side. And the muddy river. The river's been really muddy lately. But we've been getting some rain, put some water back in it for springtime. Hopefully we'll have full pond all season. Be good.
Good
for the environment. Good for the power-making ability, because that generates power.
Good for hulls of boats not hitting stumps.
It's good for not getting a surprise.
Yeah, don't.
You know. That can happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean.
I was a big water skier. That's what I like to do on the water. And I liked the barefoot. I wasn't a great barefooter, but my dad really never liked me barefooting because, you know, you got floating sticks and logs in the river.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after it rains. And if you, you know, he would always say if you hit a log with your foot, it will shatter your foot. Well, you will never walk again.
The thing about barefoot, too, is you have to go so daggone fast. I mean, right? It's like 45 miles an hour or something to get off. Did you do it on a hydro slide?
We would do it on a hydro slide and get on the front of it. Get going real fast. Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah.
And then just stand up.
Yeah, and you put your heels into the water.
And I would wear, like, water shoes. But I think if you had to hit a log.
Yeah,
the water shoe wouldn't do anything for you.
Could you like spin on your back and things like that?
No,
I never tried barefooting. I was too. Kids did it when I was growing up, but I was always scared to do it. I wasn't old enough or didn't have.
I honestly think that's why because when I would wreck water skiing and barefooting, I think that's why my hair's so thin. I mean, you go at that water 45 miles an hour, man. It's pulling, it's yanking some roots.
Some follicles are coming out. Yeah,
I mean, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're messing with your hair at the sink and a couple of hairs fall out, you're like, oh, crap. But you don't know how many fall out in the dirt muddy river when you go 45 down.
So you're saying that river's full of Trent hair at the bottom?
There isn't much Trent hair ever existed in this world, but there is probably a couple of and some old golf balls.
My favorite part about that, whenever I think about you barefoot, I just think of your dad, the boat, and the kingpin hair. You know, that thing just flying way up in here.
He would, you know, and we talk about this a little bit. Dad had a mean comb over that the women really liked. I mean, Dale Earnhardt style.
My dad had one too.
It was cool
with the Brillo brush.
But he loved wearing a hat. If he was going to be going over 1 mile an hour, he put a hat on. You know, if the wind's coming, he's wearing a brim.
He didn't want any of those things to blow away.
And man, all my friends loved him, and they gave him crap, and he gave them crap, and he'd pull us tubing and skiing and everything, hydro sliding all day. And his hat, he'd stand up over the window and his hat blow off. And his hair go up 3 feet, you know. And he'd slam that boat. I mean, kids fall, hitting heads, getting concussions. I mean, as fast as he could. I mean, I think he'd fly off and he'd stop the boat so fast you could just reach down and get it in the water.
He had one of those, like, neon yellow hats back in the day.
They would make fun of him. Ah! It was so funny. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
That's old Papa Ron's story. God love him, you know. That's what makes the world go round. All right. When we come back, we hope that was fun. We got Lisa Sherry Interiors. Zach got that right. She is our neighbor over in the dairy across the street, and I can't wait to learn a lot about what she's got going on in her career. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last segment, go back, talking all kinds of catfish, you name it. We were talking about it.
I mean, Dave McGuire told us yesterday in a meeting that we hadn't talked about his lack of hair follicles lately.
Dave,
he said he was hurt.
He had that thing shining earlier today, too. But I'll tell you, I don't know if you put a little extra glisten on it, Dave, but looking good.
What is the product that glistens?
I don't know. Is it like, is it that stuff they put on bowling balls?
I think they call it baby oil.
Baby oil.
I will say, we're going to talk to Lisa Sherry, but I will say, I used to like my hair being rubbed. I still like my hair being rubbed, you know, whatever. So when I was a kid, my buddy, my best friend and his sister and her friend, they were a little bit older. I mean, we're like, let's call it 12 and 14.
Okay.
And they wanted to play barber and mess with my hair, and they did. And it was the greatest thing ever, but they went and got the baby oil and put it in my hair. And my hair does not need baby oil. And for like 3 days, my hair looked like alfalfa, I guess. So, I mean,
did you get the little pointy thing in the back?
I don't think my hair has any tension enough to stand up when it has baby oil in it. But it looked like one strand of hair.
Baby oil.
You saw a lot of forehead, a lot of skin.
Okay. That isn't good at 12 years old, man.
It wasn't working on my game.
I got you.
Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Trent, how are you?
Doing great. So nice to have you here.
It's great to be here today.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me here.
So you, several years ago, when did you move into the dairy building?
I think it was 4 years ago. It was during the pandemic, or right before the pandemic. I had signed a lease on the building for March 1st, and there were just rumblings of the pandemic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I started to get moved in, and then March 30th, everything shut down, and we ended up working from home, so we never fully got moved in. So we had our space for several months before we started functioning out of there, which was, I think, in May.
Goodness gracious.
God almighty.
Yeah, crazy time to start a design business when everything was shut down.
Did you start the business then?
No, I'd been doing my business, but our new office, when moving to that location, was...
Where were you located prior?
We'd been in High Point, North Carolina, and I'd been working in Charlotte since, 2008, I think I opened my first office. I've been around a long time, but moved around a little bit. But
you opened your first office in High Point?
Yes.
And you did business in Charlotte, too?
Yes.
As well?
Yes,
so
exactly.
You said, hey, I might want to have my physical location be in Charlotte.
Yes. So we had offices. We worked out of High Point, but our main clients were all in Charlotte when we started our business there. My background, if we can get into that a little bit, was that I started as a fashion stylist out of college.
Oh, cool.
So
okay.
worked in fashion, which, again, you know, fashion and home interplay together. They're sort of one and the same in my world. And I did that for about 12 years and then segued into set design. Yeah, set design, which was really fascinating. Did a lot of national ad campaigns for companies like Anderson Windows. And then clients started asking me to do their own home. So I'm a self-taught interior designer.
Oh,
we just kind of segued from one business to another.
Man.
So where were you living when you were doing the fashion stuff?
I was in Minneapolis at the time.
Okay.
Are you from Minneapolis?
I grew up in Iowa. And
all right. You're all Midwesterner.
Yeah, definitely.
I hear you.
Hey, we're hardworking.
That's it.
Hey,
that's it.
Patrick and I are both big fans.
My wife is from Indiana. Yep.
Oh, yep. Really? I love that.
Daughter
it seems
of farmers.
Like
yeah.
Most of the people I meet here that become good friends are from the Midwest. There's something about our connection and that work ethic.
Well, I think true Southerners and Midwesterners have a lot in common. I think their work ethic is very similar.
I would agree. There was definitely, I think how I was raised almost felt Southern, because when I moved to the South, I felt very much at home and very connected to people. So I think there definitely are a lot of similarities. But after college, I moved from Iowa to Minneapolis, and I was there for 25 years, I think, before I actually ended up
in fashion design, then in set design.
Correct.
Wow. And where did you go to college?
I went to University of Northern Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool. Yeah, yeah.
I started working with a developer doing a project in Virginia, which is what got me started with my residential interior design. I helped him develop a town. We did a small bed and breakfast. We did a whole vineyard that had 24 little cottages that were part of a rental program that were part of the vineyard.
Huh.
And we did a bed and breakfast. So that was sort of how I cut my teeth and learned how to do residential design.
Did you say you helped them do a little town?
Yes.
Yeah, we were developing the town. It was a town of about 600.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is crazy.
Yeah.
First time I've heard that on the radio.
First time we had somebody build a town. I like
Goodness
it.
Goodness
gracious. Yeah. I don't know. Todd Collins might have that, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
It was so much fun, just on the Rappahannock River, Chesapeake Bay area. So there were a lot of people that came from D.C. and very sweet. This was back in the 80s.
So did you live there during that time?
No, I was still living in Minneapolis, but I would spend, 3 months at a time working on projects there. So I would come and go.
So what brought you to North Carolina?
Well, when I was working in Virginia, I didn't realize how sunny a place could be. And after living in Minnesota, where at the time it was easily 80 below with the wind chill in the wintertime.
Oh, my gosh.
And you never saw sun, except for maybe a little bit in the summertime. So when I started spending more time in Virginia, I thought, wow, I mean, I'm such a sunshine girl. I need sunshine and sunlight. And I thought, why don't I move down here? Why am I in Minnesota?
Sure.
Why stay in a place it's a beautiful city, but it just was like dark and dreary a lot of the time.
And you moved to Winston-Salem?
No. So first I moved outside of Wilmington And then, and that, because that was close to, you know, close to where I was working, so I could easily navigate
and
back and
you could really be a sunshine girl there.
Yeah, yeah. and then from there I moved to High Point, which, as you may or may not know, is the furniture capital of the world.
Yeah, so. That was a setup. I wanted you to correct me.
Right.
Yeah, so that is why you moved to High Point, to be at the epicenter of high-quality furniture.
Right.
Craftsmanship.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you, I did a job in 2012 down in for a Charlotte client that moved to West Palm Beach, right on the right on Flagler, which is right at Palm Beach. I spent a lot of time on Palm Beach. I slept in the pool house on the floor for 5 months.
I remember.
I had three kids. And but it was so refreshing because everybody said, you're going to go down there. There's a bunch of Yankees. They're not going to like you. They're not going to understand you. And then you have a bunch of Latinos and Cubans, and they're not going to like you either. You're going to get banished. And I went down there, and everybody, I got along with everybody. And it was the greatest. It was really cool. I mean, I wanted an open office down there. I was trying to get more work.
Yeah.
We tried to do an electrical business.
I
was excited.
Yeah,
Patrick came and visited me. But I had a buddy that sold hardwood floors in these humongous tens of million dollar Palm Beach houses, and he's an older guy, probably about 60, and I said, man, it's so cool. Why is everybody so nice? Everybody likes me. He said, because they're from up north, and they've always bought their high-quality craftsmanship furniture from North Carolina, and they emulate that with honesty and quality.
Yes.
And he said, the minute you open your mouth and you wear your cowboy boots, you're in. For you to mess up at that point.
Yeah. Authentic.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
That's pretty cool. So High Point is a tremendous asset.
It is.
For our region and our state.
It's the great market. It's one of the best markets, and there's, you know, millions of square feet of showroom, and
it's crazy.
So many amazing showrooms and resources for us.
It is. I have some buddies, and I've gone up there and just rode around and looked at it and been through some of the buildings. It'll blow you away. So we got to go pay some bills. When we come back, we'll pick it up here. I'm so excited to keep learning about your entrepreneurial career.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Lisa Sherry Interiors. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last segment, we got Lisa Sherry from Lisa Sherry Interiors on the show.
Yeah.
She's teaching us a little about fashion.
I know. She's moved to High Point.
She moved to High Point from outside of Wilmington Minneapolis from Iowa.
Did you start your business in Wilmington or in High Point?
It depends on which business you want to talk about
starting.
There
we go. I mean, now we're getting
you know, given
forensic
that,
studies.
Yeah, given that I'm, you know, a non-schooled interior designer, I guess I learned it way back when I was growing up through my mother, who was not an interior designer, but, you know, we grew up with, you know, amazing houses, and she just had great taste. And so, you know, I learned a lot just growing up. But I started my official business when I was in High Point.
Got it.
Doing residential design.
Lisa Sherry Interiors.
Lisa Sherry Interiors, yes.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh. Don't ask me years. I don't remember. It's been 20-some years, probably.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. Came to Charlotte. My first office here in Charlotte was 2008.
I'd been
working at a High Point, and when the economy tanked, I knew that I needed to expand beyond my market, because at that time, most of my clients had been in New York and Connecticut.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we'd been, you know, doing well, but I felt like I needed a local base.
So where was the office, the first one, in 2008?
Where
in Charlotte were you located in 2008?
We had an office on Tremont, which now, as you know, is South End, which it wasn't South End at that point. It was just warehouses.
Yeah.
So there were quite a few of us designers that just had a warehouse and a showroom there.
Yeah. My very first job was at 101 West Tremont at the Ferguson showroom. We had a plumbing wholesale distribution office there as well. But Yeah, 101 West Tremont.
Gosh, I can't remember our number, but we might have been neighbors.
I think we were
probably neighbors.
Yeah, right there at the corner of Tremont and South.
Once again, it comes full circle.
There it
goes. Neighbors again.
Yep. I thought I recognized you.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we started way back when, and it was just, you know, kind of a slow crawl because everything had stopped in Charlotte.
You sure
did. And not exactly the best time to build a business, but we were...
Well, in retrospect, it definitely taught us how to be gritty and hustle and not take anything for granted. So maybe it was, you know, a pretty good time to start in retrospect. It just definitely, it was a different time. So what's a favorite project that you've had in the past?
You know, I really love working with builders. I love working with builders like you because
cool.
I think, you know, the great thing about my projects are that I love to deconstruct and then I love to reconstruct. So whether it's a renovation or whether it's a new construction, I just love being a part of a project from the very beginning and having influence in every part of, you know, whether it's the architectural part. But when you can control the entire interior, it's really rewarding for us to see how it all comes together.
So you guys do architectural design?
We do. We work with architects. So, you know, our typical team is that there's an architect, there's a builder, and then there's the designer. And so that's a beautiful team because we can all weigh in and work together, you know, to have this wonderful vision.
I don't know if I'm sure I told you this. Our Andrew Roby triangle is a perfect three-pointed triangle.
That's right.
It's the homeowner team, and it's the builder team, which is GC and all their subs, and then it's the designer team, which can be architect, can be designer, can be interior designer, and gets it furnished.
Right.
So it's so beautiful because we can build something, but it's the style that makes it beautiful.
Well
it's all of it because, you know, we can do beautiful designs, but if the construction end of it isn't there,
craftsmanship's not there.
You know, you need that marriage of all three.
Well, tell us about your style and then maybe a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so, you know, the style that we are known for, that our clients love us for, is that we're neutral, we're textural. You know, I love light and airy spaces.
Yeah.
So if we're doing a renovation, I love to take down walls. We layer lots of texture in so it never feels cold. I really like to create homes that are your sanctuary so that, you know, our clients can come home and feel connected with their family.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great for entertaining, and every client's different. So we love to deep dive into how they live and how they want to move through the space to really create a unique space for them.
I hear you.
And it's not just you over there. You got a whole team of folks, right?
I have an amazing team. I've got four designers on staff, and LSI wouldn't exist without my team of designers. If it were left to myself, everything couldn't happen. They're not only extremely creative, but they are great producers. As you guys know, it's really important to have the back of the house function really well so that we can stay on schedule, stay on budget, and produce beautiful projects. Then I have a chief marketing officer and I have an accountant, which is most important to be able to keep the wheels on the bus.
Go round and round.
Make sure you pay that rent, right?
So you amen. So you you have a lot of you have your office, which is so fashionable and cool. Where
Thank
I walk
you.
By and I'm on the phone and I'm throwing something away and y'all are like, what's this vagabond doing? But then you have on the upstairs, you have a lot of storage. You have a lot of stuff.
Right.
A lot of decoration.
We've got a lot of stuff, all right.
Yeah. What? Tell us about that.
Yeah. The upstairs is really, well, it's part, you know, I love to pretend I'm a retail store every once in a while. So
we
do these pop-up events.
There you go.
Are very exciting. We get to curate our own little shop have all kinds of wonderful curated finds for sale. And then we have behind the curtain our huge warehouse. We keep lots of accessories in our warehouse because when we go to install a home, we just take things to style with. So once the home is designed, and we're installing, we come in and we layer it up with all the accessories.
So you just take extra stuff.
We take
and get creative and
truckloads of things, and we
feel
just,
where it's going.
Yeah, we just play on site.
Oh my
we don't have our clients.
Yeah.
We don't have our clients necessarily purchase too many of the accessories ahead of time, because I feel like that's just kind of that fun movement that happens on the fly.
That sounds so fun.
And so we just keep a warehouse full of things that we love that we know that are going to work for individual projects.
So you still do a lot of business at a High Point?
No, we're really just in Charlotte, although we have a lot of projects in the mountains. On the coast, we do some out-of-state projects. We do virtual projects. We have a project right now that we're doing in Guadalajara, Mexico.
No way. Wow.
California. Yeah.
Are you all utilizing like AI and what are those things called? Like, I think there's Apple Vision and stuff like that. Has that come to them?
No, I've been wanting to explore that.
We have too. We were talking about how cool it would be to be able to take like a set of plans out of Bluebeam. And I think you can do this now and essentially build it virtually and then have the client be able to walk through it.
I just saw that, and I thought, what a great thing, especially for architects. If you're building
100%.
Something where you can put these glasses on and you can walk through your space.
It's
I thought
here.
How brilliant that would be for a homeowner and for you guys to be able to and have your client envision the space.
Well, because
and then to tie the
design. We take it for granted.
Yes.
I honestly was born into this, right? So
right.
I take it for granted that I can see
you
a set
see
of plans
yeah, you
and
know
understand
it.
What the house is going to be.
Right.
I'm not creative, though. I'm a builder. I'm a 2x4 cinder block. But I can read a set of plans and understand what your vision is.
But she could bring it to life.
I love that. I love technology. I never want to age out of anything. And
to
me, it's really exciting to be able to see what the future is going
to
bring.
That's so cool.
Because if we can create a room that someone could, you know, walk through and they have all of their interiors or, you know, every piece of furniture and every accessory, it'd be kind of exciting.
How cool is that? Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
It is cool. And we talk about it. You can't let technology drive your business and get lost, but you got to embrace it and figure out how it can help you.
Just like Madonna, you got to keep evolving.
She's still evolving.
She's still got evolving.
She's the material girl, isn't she? So you do these pop-ups. One last thing. That's so cool in Vogue. It's so out of my league. How do you get people to know about your pop-up?
Well, we have a pretty strong social media following, so I'm very excited about that, and word just spreads, so it's been really successful.
We
pick a date and we let everybody know kind of what we're going to be having, we tend to have people lined up at the door before the doors open, so it's really exciting.
So cool.
Well, now that we're bonding and we're going to grow our businesses together, we'll help you promote that.
You're trying to get a sneak peek in there. I see what you're
wanna,
doing. You're going to be first
that.
In line.
Come in and buy early.
He's going to come through the back door.
Right. Yeah, you can sneak in through the warehouse.
All right. We're going to cut to break, but this is fun. Lisa Sherry Interiors. Lisa Sherry, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. We are with Lisa Sherry from Lisa Sherry Interiors. Miss last few segments, go back and check us out on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and the www.
Thank you, Patrick, for reiterating that.
That's a lot to
get
statement.
Out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it out there. Lisa Sherry Interiors. Interiors is spelled French, correct?
It is. Just to make it complicated.
I think it's genius, by the way.
People get Trent's accent mixed up with the French accent.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Hey, Stone.
Like down the
Interiors.
The USA French. But I-N-T-E-R-I-E-U-R-S.
We spell it 100 times a day for people.
I-N-T-E-R.
But it started because
I think it's catchy.
I love it.
Well, way back when, traveling to Europe and France in particular was always such a great inspiration for me. So I felt like, you know, when I started my company and I wanted to call it, you know, obviously after my name, Lisa Sherry and Lisa Sherry Interiors, I just thought I need to be a little more unique and unusual.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I think it shows some class. I like it.
Thank you.
So, give us some tips. What do you tell a homeowner that's saying, I don't know what to do. I don't have an idea.
Well, there's so many tips, and you know, we go into that when we work with our clients. But, you know, sort of my overarching theme is that I want you to fall in love with your home. I want your home to reflect you. So, you know, there are things that fall within that, which are like, for Lisa Sherry Interiors, it's really about the five senses. It's really about texture, which is all the layers. You know, we're very neutral.
Sure.
And, you know, some people wonder, well, does it feel cold? Does it feel too modern? But it never does, because it's so layered and textural. So texture is extremely important in what we do. And then the touch part, you know, I love mixing rough and refined together. So, you know, the counterbalance of different things that you're going to touch throughout your home. Candles and smells, you know, the scent is really important in creating a home. You know, if it's from cooking, it's because you're entertaining or spending time with your family. Sound is also important, whether it's music, nature, open your doors, hear the birds. All of these things to me are components of what we do to help you design your home. Editing is really important also, because for us, I feel like it's, you know, we're not minimal, but we're not maximalist. It's really all about the edit. It's about, you know, thoughtfully layering in pieces. Sometimes we're taking away so that, you know, things feel clean and not overstyled, but they feel very collected to you.
Man. I mean, I've spent my whole life in this industry. I've never had a lesson like that. That is cool.
Very cool.
And I was in.
It makes complete sense.
Texture.
Sound, smell.
Sound,
all
smell.
That
stuff that
we don't think about.
You really, my wife thinks about smell and stuff.
I know
it's
she
fun
does.
To think about your home that way, though, right? Because it's more, for us, it's more than just coming in and designing your home. We want to create a lifestyle for you.
Yeah, lifestyle. We fall in love with your home.
Fall in love with your home.
Well, you know, I always say, you go through this big remodel year of your life, or you build your house. This is your biggest asset. If it's not going to be your forever home, it's your for a
right.
period of time. It is where you spend your time
and
your
is.
Life.
It's your sanctuary.
And when we give them the key, if they're not in love with how the process went,
I was about to say the same
thing.
Or
how it feels. It's that whole team. If they're not happy with it, they get the key, and it's not their dream home.
Right.
And that's too bad.
Right.
And I hear that I hear that so often. It's like, oh, it's terrible. And their memory of their house is this bad process, or this doesn't feel right. They wish they had done this.
Yeah. There are always things that go wrong on a project.
Sure.
And for us, it's all about, you know, the creative problem solving of, like, how do you fix that? Like, you know, we're humans, and we can't promise that things aren't going to happen, but we want to leave you with this, like, overwhelming sense of love for your home, because it works for your family, whatever that is.
Yep. It's the journey.
Absolutely.
It's the experience. Yeah, I mean, you had said, it's a tremendous responsibility that we have, and you both sort of alluded to it. It's the experience that we provide is what's going to create that, or ultimately make it what it's supposed to be. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's tremendous responsibility.
Place you love to be.
Make it home.
Right.
Okay. So you gave us principles and tips for design.
Now you're
getting I'm gonna put you on the spot. I like to do this to folks. What's a print business tip principle you live by? What's like the compass?
Well, it goes back to what I said early. Whether it's my business life or my personal life, it's the same, and that's to live a beautiful life. So the same for me is what we're really defining for our clients. It's really, you know, finding beauty in the ordinary and the extraordinary. So living a life, what is that? It is home. It is your sanctuary. It is everything that we bring in, everything that you, the client, brings in, and that, you know, creates this wonderful space for you to live the rest of your life. You spend a lot of time in your home.
Amen. Thank you. How can people look y'all up?
We've got a website, lisasherryinteriors.com.
Social media.
Spelled I-N-T-E-R, although I think if you do it I-O-R, that will get you there too. We have a great social media, so we've got Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can Google us.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's been so much
so
fun.
So fun. Hey, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thanks for joining. Lisa Sherry, thanks for being here. Have a wonderful day.